You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for he
as a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Good afternoon and welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pat Randall, on this Thursday afternoon. Amen. So let's start by opening up with prayer. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this day. I thank you that you are the Lord of all. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the King of King and that there is no other name that is above your name. You are Christ Jesus. I thank you that in the midst of all of this tearing down, that we are being prepared to build up. There are things that need to be torn down. Torn down in our personal lives and torn down in the church system. I'm not speaking about and praying for the world, but I am praying for your people who've been called out, who are your body. That in this season, that we will have a hearing heart. A heart that hears the love of God speaking to us about what we see and what we are to do. Who we are to be in this time. I thank you for the broadcast today. I thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit, because I would not even be able to speak and say the things that I am going to say today without the help of the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher and he is our comforter. Amen. So we just praise you and thank you for this day. I thank you that no weapon formed against this broadcast shall prosper. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, amen. So today's broadcast, I'm just going to speak out from my heart about what the Lord is speaking to me during this time. And in the second part of the broadcast, I'm going to bring my daughter in and we're going to have a little conversation between the two of us, and I'm going to allow her to share some of the things that are on her heart as well. Amen. If I was to title today's conversation, today's exhortation, today's message, I would entitle it, Man Looks on the Outer, But God Looks at the Heart. Man looks on the outer, but God looks at the heart. So the question I want to start off with is, where is the church's voice in this season? Do we even know what we should be speaking during this system, during this season, not system, but during this season? Do we even know what our voice should sound like in this season? Can we hear what our Father's voice is speaking in this system, in this season, so that we can speak what we're hearing from him, what his heart is speaking during this time of stress for so many people, sorrow and this wounding that's going on? My second question is, when do we correct the lie that began in the garden and has evolved into this stronghold in this world's consciousness? You see, the devil understood that the battleground was the mind. So what he did was introduce a lie and then convinced Adam and Eve to believe the lie. And once it was believed, he was able now, because he was actually given permission, to begin to construct a system of lies. So the lie from the very beginning has not been corrected in our lives yet, in the lives of those who say that they are in the body of Christ, that they are the church, because the church is not a building. The church is the people. Now, we've been dealing with this virus that has a name, and it's a name that is beneath the name of Jesus. Amen. But it has exposed a lot of things. It has forced us into a place where we need to reboot our belief system. We need to do some self-examination and question what we believe. And do we really believe it? We say we believe something, but do we really believe it? Can we see it in the way our mind is working in this moment, and the way our heart is working in this moment? And then to add to that, which is so very interesting, we've got this whole race issue, where we see a video where a man is being murdered right before our eyes by the very people who are being paid to protect and serve. Race wars. The Bible prophesied about that we would be moving into this season where there would be rumors of wars, there would be plagues and famines and diseases and race wars, and you know, and all of this is playing out before us. So we shouldn't be, the church should not be surprised. We who believe should not be surprised that we're seeing these things. But what has been the church's part in all of this? Have we lost sight of our purpose for being here? For being the ambassadors of Christ, for being the ministers of the gospel. Well, first of all, let's talk about this whole race thing. First of all, science has proven, even though we forget, but science has proven that there is no such thing as a pure race. This is no such thing. And that race is a construct. It's a construct. It's something that we came up with. Because it's all part of the system of lies that began in the garden from the very beginning. And man has been leaning on his own wisdom, his own knowledge, under the influence of the prince of this world. And we know who that is. Believers, you know who the prince of this world is. So science is telling us there's no such thing as a pure race. So race is not even real. It's just a concept. It's not even real. Can you believing in something that's not even real? You know, I did a teaching series on where are we living and what is our reality, you know, because we have bought into things in this world and systems in this world that have been constructed that are built on perversions of truth. And we have accepted them and not questioned them. And I believe that this particular time is causing us to really look at this. All right? So if racism is basically a construct that is part of this system, right? It's a system that's been constructed by lies, and it runs through not only in this country, but it runs through the world, this whole system. And yet we're being told by our Lord that we are to be in this world, but we're not supposed to be of it. We're in it in the sense that we're present. Physically, we're present here. But we're not of this. But yet we've participated in this system. Let me ask this question. Does the church believe that through changing laws and policies that hearts will be changed? No matter how many civil rights laws and policies have been enacted, man has always found a way around it. The church also, I'm talking about people, we have involved ourselves in a system of lies. And we believe that we can make changes in this system by voting a certain way, voting for a certain party that we know or we believe that they will vote for things that will support what we believe in, like, you know, these anti-abortion laws, a right to life. Laws about, even tax laws regarding churches and our nonprofit status and, you know, all of that, right? So our voice is strongly heard in this world, in this country, about our heart for the unborn. Yet, the neighbor that we can see that's dying before us without justice and the laws that are supposed to protect them is not protecting them. When we see a group of church leaders stand behind a man who wants to continue to perpetuate a system of division and violence, who do not recognize that they are helping to perpetuate a system whose foundation began with lies. Because the church always likes to say that this system is built on Christian principles. My question is it built on Christian principles? Or is it built on a mixture? Because you know what happens when we mix. We mix man's intellect with the Word of God, man's reasoning from a worldly perspective with the Word of God, and then we build this system that says that all men are created equal, and then we begin to create subsequent laws and policies, starting back with the Jim Crow period and, you know, all the laws where voting wise we couldn't vote, and then when we could vote, we weren't like a whole person, we were like three quarters of a person or whatever. I mean, just historically, I don't even want to go through all the details of that. But the church, we have to understand that we are the ones that need fixing. That we are the problem, because how are we going to be a light in the midst of this darkness if we're still buying into this system, this construct? We're so involved in this political system that only works for certain people. We've bought into that. We haven't successfully been in this world and not of it. And now we need to do the work. And the work begins inside, that inside territory. There are areas in our lives and how we think where this devil has set up camp, and we need to kick him out. We need to kick him out of those areas in our lives where we're thinking other than what God has to say in any circumstance in our lives and in any situation that we see before us. So I'm going to stop right there, and then I am going to bring my daughter in, and then we're going to have this conversation. We're going to continue to have this conversation, and just to have a second voice in this. And, you know, I want you to remember, first of all, that this is all being done in a place of love. We cannot be afraid to look at ourselves and see the flaws and allow the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do in our lives. We have to first acknowledge it so that we can yield it to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, we're back, and we are going to start the second part of this broadcast with my daughter, who is joining me, Minister Jordana. Shout out, Jordana.
Hey, family.
So first of all, Joy, I think I'd like for you to say a little bit about the video that you posted on Facebook today.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was walking, minding my very own business.
Right.
And I've just really been thinking about how to respond in this time. You know, there are a lot of conversations going on in every, you know, sector of this nation. You know, people in entertainment, you know, people in, you know, media and news. And so one of the things I think is important, and I'm not sure if we are elevating it to the level of conversation we need, but we as believers, how are we responding? I feel like I've seen a couple of well-known folks like have some really like start to have a real conversation, but more than just put a post, we as the church, the body, the people, need to be having a conversation about how we respond in this time, in this, you know, season where there is a significant racial tension, where there are wounds that are both fresh and old, and how do we come out? How do we break free? What does it look like?
Amen. Yeah. And one of the things that has been sparked in me is this thought about, you know, where is the church's voice in this, which is something I said earlier in the broadcast. Because I believe that we are not going to be able to be the light until we reconcile what is going on with us. The racism that I have encountered even in the body of Christ. And the interesting part is that these are believers that I love, but they don't even realize that there is a bias. They don't even realize that they're thinking and saying things that are offensive, and it implies that there is these differences. And we can't just cover it up with scriptures and just say that we, you know, we love the Lord, we forgive each other, but we actually need to, it's just like anything else that we deal with in terms of breaking strongholds in our consciousness where we are thinking things and believing things that really don't line up with the scripture. And when it comes to race, there are things that we have been conditioned to think and respond a certain way, and we don't even realize it because it's like a program running in the background. But in order for the Holy Spirit to do what he does, we have to recognize that it's there. And we have to give it to him so that he can do the work in us. Because the scripture tells us that as far as the body of Christ is concerned, there's not only is there no race, there's no male, there's no female in the body of Christ. And so that's going to a whole nother level of being able to see one another beyond the fact that you're a male, I'm a female, your skin is lighter, my skin is darker. Going beyond that and recognizing that there is still a system that we're participating in that we don't even realize that we're still participating in that system until something like this comes up. And when I hear some of the responses that our leaders make, it makes me question whether they really understand, whether they're getting the fact that they've got some beliefs and they're hidden to them, but it has to be addressed. But I don't think it's going to be addressed unless we have this open dialogue with one another, and just to be honest and bring it out into the front and actually deal with it.
Yes. So I want to make two points. I think there is a misconception in Christianity, and if you say you're an evangelical or however it is that you refer to yourself, that once you become a Christian, and if you are a European or white American, that you can't be racist. And if you have a black friend, or there are black people in your ministry, or you know, whatever statements you use to say, oh, I'm not racist because, and you point to this thing, that has to be dismantled, and we need to have an uncomfortable conversation, because similar to in any other aspect as a believer, there are things that are being dismantled in our own lives and in our own walks with the Lord. So taking racism and this conversation out of it, when you think about how you grow in the Lord and how the Lord challenges you, you know, like, woe unto me, I am a man of unclean lips. Like, once God starts to show you things about yourself and you start to change and you start to renew your mind and you start to understand that this thing needs to be, this is a incorrect belief system. This is an incorrect thought process. I need to rework this thought process. And similar to that, if you take, you know, whatever issue you struggled with or whatever thing that you know that you have matured from in your walk with the Lord, we need to have that kind of in-depth and continuing conversation and growth and teaching about racism, racist behaviors, racist thought patterns, because what, and to speak very plainly, if you are, it's so funny because, you know, my mom and I have had conversations where, we have had friends who are white Christians and they're sending us articles that are blatantly racist. And it's so funny, and they think that they're sending to us, and it's for every Christian because it's supposed to be a Christian thing, but the undertone in the article that they're sending is inherently racist. And so we know, because we know that person, and we know that person's heart, and we've been in that person's home, but just because she loves us doesn't mean that some of her belief systems and some of the ideology she has aren't steeped in racism at its core.
Right. And that's the thing, because you can be hurting or damaging people without even realizing that
Correct. That
you're doing that, and that you're participating, you're still participating in a system that favors you and it does not favor all people. And you don't recognize that this system is set up from the beginning to favor one group of people over another group of people. And I was actually surprised by some of the Christian leaders that I've listened to who have pretty prominent ministries, how they responded to the new administration in the White House. And I was surprised because as a person of what they call the African-American race and the black race. And we all know that these race is something that was, it's a
construct.
Is right. Exactly.
Designed to divide.
So it doesn't really exist because we're really all the same. You know, it's just some of us have more melanin than others. And it's just even within the so-called black race, you've got all different shades of black people. And we range. But so I was really surprised because I saw people aligning with someone that I knew would perpetuate this divisive spirit and this system that promotes racism. And in fact, watch them dismantle things that were set up to make things equal, and watch that administration dismantle it. And my white brothers and sisters are just like unaware of it. And the other thing that gets me is when their voices are so heard. My brothers and sisters, I don't want to say they, because that's what usually we do. We go they and them. But my white brothers and sisters in the Lord, you hear they're so outspoken about abortion and expressing their concern about an unborn child. And I don't hear their voices when I see black people being bullied and murdered and mistreated, and that's life too. And your voice is not being heard concerning that. You're not. And I, you know,
where's the righteous anger? But very honestly, and I hope you're getting offended as you hear this. I hope it's stirring up some things, because you need to be challenged, because the issue is there's some part of you that thinks that that black person deserved to die, which is why there's no anger in it, right? Because there is some unconscious belief that that black person deserved it. So why would I be angry?
Right. Right.
Because that's what your silence is saying. And when you don't have a righteous indignation about your brown brothers and sisters being slain in the street and terrorized on a daily basis across communities in this country, you're saying that they are less important than the unborn children that you will stand on street corners and form marches for that purpose, but not when a black person is slain in the street.
Right. My prayer is that we will use this opportunity, because I'm looking at the world, and they're having these town halls, they're having these open conversations, and people are writing books, and they're really trying to look at this topic. And I'm thinking, and I think, Jordana, when we were having a conversation, you said it earlier, that we can show them how this whole situation can be resolved, that we should be the example of how race relations can be resolved within the body of Christ, because we are the light. We are the light that needs to shine in the dark place. So if we can resolve the racism and acknowledge the racism in the body of Christ, then we can heal and show them that there is healing that's available, because laws are not going to change people's hearts and policies are not going to change people's hearts. And what we're in the heart changing business.
Correct.
That's what we do. And I think we've gotten too caught up in politics, and I think we've gotten too caught up in voting for people who we believe are going to support what it is that we believe, that they're going to make laws that support what we believe. And we're not really looking at the heart of those people. Because if you start to look at some of the other policies that they have supported, even when it comes to our gun laws, we see all these deaths that are happening because of guns, and the party that we typically vote for because they're against abortion, and so we vote for them, right? Because we think they're pro-life. But yet, they support policies and laws that are violent in nature. So we've got to be outside of that, because the scripture tells us we're in it, but we're not of it.
Right. And the issue is bigger than that, right? Because, listen, if you want to see segregation, go to somebody's church on a Sunday, right?
Absolutely.
And there are enough of us who believe in Jesus in this country that can change the nation, because if our heart condition regarding our brown brothers and sisters are right, there are enough of us in every industry, in every sector across the nation, that when we go into a place and we are responding correctly and in line with the word of God, that we can make changes in whatever system that we find ourselves connected to. Like, as in, you know, I am connected to the criminal justice system. So I try and show justice in that sector, right? But if you have someone who is a believer, but still is holding on to racist beliefs, mm-hmm. but they are, you know, in any sector, they're going to bring those racist beliefs in the sector and prop up those systems that create what we have today.
Right. It's, look at this. I know some people who've come to the body, who've come into the body of Christ, and, you know, they never used drugs, they never smoked, they weren't ones. So they don't think that they were such a terrible sinner because they didn't, you know, I wasn't an alcoholic. I wasn't an abuser, mm-hmm. and I, you know, so certain things, I lived a pretty clean life. So in some instances, they actually think that they're better than someone who may have been a prostitute before they got saved, or they may have been a drug addict before they got saved. So if you come into the body of Christ thinking that, well, I was never a racist, I was always a good people,
I grew up in church, I got saved very young,
I know black people, I have black friends, and so you come in thinking that it none of this applies to you, but it does apply to all of us in some form or another. And I guess the thing that I'm trying to gather my thought, but you go ahead and then I'll come back to okay. what I really want to express.
What I think that we should focus on in this moment as believers, no matter how little or how much melanin you have in your skin, is that with anything, we need to acknowledge it. I love Ayan Levan Zant, who says, call a thing a thing.
Right.
And really do some, you know, self-reflection and introspection and think about how you show up in the world. And, you know, are you uncomfortable when you see a black man walking down your street? Or do you clutch your purse? Or do you move to the other side of the elevator? Because I have been in spaces and witnessed those things, and I have, and I work alongside people who have called black men things that are less than human, but also call themselves believers. And you have to kind of reconcile that. And being able to show that you go to a multicultural church, or that you have black friends, or that your daughter is married to a black man, doesn't protect you from the work and from the acknowledgement, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you can't acknowledge that this is not only pervasive in this country, but pervasive in the church, mm-hmm. then there needs to be a different conversation. We just have to acknowledge it.
Right. Okay, so back to what I was trying to express earlier, and I just kind of got a brain freeze. But one of the things that I always have to renew my mind to when I hear my white brothers and sisters talk about that this country is built on Christian principles, and that we everything about us, this whole our whole country is built on that. And they say it, and for them, that's probably true because they've never been enslaved. They never had to deal with Jim Crow laws. And so for a black person hearing that, they're thinking like, okay, if this country is built on Christian principles, then why have I been treated violently? Because, you know, I grew up in segregation, and I had to grow up always being concerned about not being in the wrong neighborhood. Like, I know
we're at minute 23.
I know that sometimes people think that black neighborhoods are dangerous. But for me growing up as a child during segregation, a white neighborhood was dangerous for me. And I always had to be concerned. And even now today, being stopped by a police officer to just because I'm because of the color of my skin, I have to be concerned about how is this interaction is going to go, or if I'm, you know, even in a job setting, you have to like figure out like, okay, so how are they going to respond to me, because I'm, you know, and so you're always dealing, because this whole system is like built on something that is not built on really true justice. So I'm going to stop with that, because I just wanted to throw some things out there.
And let me just give one more example. I was working with someone, a white man who I would consider friendly at my job, and who he has joked that our children should get married. And you know, all those kinds of things. So he would say that he is, you know, he would have friends of black people and all those kinds of things. But also today he joked about, he said that, you know, these other people were throwing him under the bus and it felt like a lynching, and it was a joke, and it was not funny.
Right.
It was not funny. And we have to have a conversation about understanding the hurt and the pain, and acknowledging that it exists, and that, you know, even if you have friends who are, and even if this or that, that there is still a lot that needs to be uncovered, and we can do the work as a body.
I think so. I think the world will know us by our love for one another, and I have great hope in this season. I think we've been trapped in this COVID-19 situation to slow us down and have us look at some things, and then with this whole racial divide going up, that it is causing us to really do some soul searching. And I have great hope for this being an opportunity for the body of Christ. I'm not so concerned about the world right now, but I think that we are the ones that paved the way. We are the city set on the hill.
So we're going to close out in prayer. I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for opening our eyes of understanding,
you, Lord
God, for giving us your divine perspective
thank
and strategy
you,
in this season. I thank you for open hearts and open minds, Lord God. We thank you for being able to have honest and uncomfortable conversations with our brothers and sisters in every church across this nation and across the world, God. And we thank you for healing and restoration in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Declaring the Finished Work. Tomorrow night is Friday Night Joy with Reverend Ray Rose at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then on Sunday, we've got Bread of Life with Pastor Ray Rose, and that's at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as well. So God bless you. And Just know that God is working this great miracle in the earth. Amen.
I'll say yes when you wake me early in the morning. Say yes at the goal. to your will, and I'll say yes to your to